the kingdom. We talked, just as a review, we talked about how Jesus is inviting us into something. He's inviting us into what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, into a bigger story, right? He invites Peter into the bigger story. He invites Matthew. He also invites the rich young ruler who went away sad because he had a lot of possessions, right? And the words that Jesus used when he invited us is, he invited us by saying, "Follow me. Just follow me. Follow me. And I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me." And over again, Jesus is inviting people into the kingdom. We'll see in a minute that's the way Jesus invited Matthew, the tax collector. Just follow me. And we asked the question, well, what is Jesus really inviting us into? What is this whole kingdom? And we talked about, is it a Bible study? No. Is it just a religious affiliation, right? Is it a civic organization? Is it a good works group? Is it a feel-good program? Is it a rebellion? What is it? What is it that God's inviting us into? He's inviting us into the real story, is what he's inviting us into. He's inviting us into the story that was happening before we were even born, right? Like you were born into this story. Unknowingly, you were born, like it or not, into really a world at war, is what you were born into. a story, evidently, that was more important than just Peter just being a fisherman for the rest of his life, right? Jesus called him out of being a fisherman. It was bigger than just Matthew being called out as being a tax collector, right? It was a bigger story than what they were living their lives. And those things are good. We'll talk about all that stuff in a minute, and we'll put that all into context. And it's like, I don't know about you, but it pulls, this thing, whole idea of Jesus inviting us into a bigger story, it pulls on something like deep, way on the inside of, not even in my notes, but it pulls on something deep on the inside of us. Like, don't you want to be a part of something big, right? Don't you want to be a part of something great? Don't you want to be a part of real change? Like, this generation, this millennial generation, what's great about this millennial generation is they have it like deep in their core, I want to do something that matters. I want to do something that makes a difference, right? And I believe it's a millennial thing, but it's really in the heart of all of us. I want to make a difference. And some of us live discouraged because I don't feel like I'm making a difference, right? But I believe that's God put that stuff on the inside of us. Because there's a bigger story. There's a bigger thing that's going on than just our work, right? There's a bigger story than just our taking care of our family. Right? There's a bigger story out there. And so when Jesus invites these guys into this bigger story, and I kind of made the joke last week, like when Jesus called Peter, or a couple of weeks ago, when Jesus called Peter, like how many steps? And it's like, actually I said it without even, I never even thought of that before. And it's kind of, you know, haunted me a little bit for the last couple of weeks. Like, how many steps did Peter take before he went, did I just make the right decision, right? Did I just, like, who is this guy that I'm following? You know, this guy just basically just preached a message and I'm just going to follow him for the rest of my life. I mean, I'm just going to drop everything. Like, how many steps do you think he went, well, is this all right? You know, is this guy a cult leader or something? It's just like who is this Jesus, right? And so as they follow around with Jesus and they follow him, they see, they start hearing Jesus talk in terms of the kingdom. And so really what Jesus is inviting them into, he's inviting them into kingdom principles and kingdom mentality. He says this in Matthew chapter 9, 35, Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Luke chapter 4, 43, he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for this purpose I was sent. Jesus said, this purpose I was sent, to preach the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom. And then we see the apostles and other scriptures, and once Jesus is risen and now the apostles take on the job of the kingdom, you see the gospel of the kingdom being preached by the apostles. And then Jesus says things like, hey, don't worry about, like what Jessica quoted earlier, don't worry about all those other things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things about your provision and all that stuff will be added to you. right? So what is the kingdom? We talked about, this is just a review because it's been a couple of weeks. The kingdom, what is the kingdom all about? It's basically this, the kingdom of God, the eventual kingdom of God will be established when Jesus comes back, right? And the rule and reign of Jesus, His rule and reign. Heaven comes to earth, right? There's a new heaven and then there's a new earth. The old things have gone and all things have become new. By the way, there's a great new book out on the subject of heaven. It's by who else other than John Eldridge? Duh. But it is, and it's called All Things New. And it's a really beautiful depiction of heaven. You can actually listen to portions of it on his podcast that he's doing right now. But it's so much more than just, you know, like we said a couple weeks ago, so much more than just an eternal church service. And everybody breathed a sigh of relief. Whew, okay, thank God. Right, all right. But it's more than that, right? And so we talked about the new heaven with Jesus in full rule and reign, right? But until then, our job is to prepare for that eventual kingdom by living the kingdom on earth. That's why Jesus has to pray this. God, let your kingdom come on earth as it already is in heaven, right? Let your kingdom come. And then we talked about a couple weeks ago, what is the kingdom? And we talked about to enter into the kingdom, you must be born again. Bottom line, I mean, just basic doctrine, right? You must be born again. And guys, in a world where there's pluralism everywhere and everything leads to God, and that is not the kingdom. Nicodemus asked Jesus, how do I enter into this kingdom? You must be born again. You have to be born of water. You have to be born naturally, right? And then you have to be born again by the Spirit of God, by inviting Jesus, by accepting what He's done on the cross as your atonement for your sins. And let me just say anymore, guys, this is not common knowledge like it used to be. We have to reiterate this stuff that it is by, you enter in by His blood. You enter into the kingdom by His blood. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Well, that's key in our evangelism, right? God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but through Him that the world would be saved. Oh, man, I have so much to say. So, like in this world of pluralism, like we have to be careful that we don't jump, we don't fall into that whole line of every religion leads to God and you know all this stuff, because what happens is like why did Jesus die on the cross? If there's all kind of roads to lead to heaven, why would somebody have to die for my sins? You can, and this is so politically incorrect, right? But you can lump all those other guys together. That's fine with me, right? But don't talk about the kingdom of God and true salvation outside of Jesus. Because there's no other name in heaven that must be saved, and that's through the name of Jesus. Because if we buy into this pluralistic attitude of like all roads lead to heaven, then Jesus' death on the cross was in vain. Amen? And it's so unpopular. But I'll get to it next week when I talk about the clash of the two kingdoms. I'm going to get into that next week. The clash of the two kingdoms. And the truth versus lies of the two kingdoms. It's quiet in here today. It's a nice little library I'm preaching into this morning. Amen. So, hey, thank you. Thank you. I'm ready to go now. All right. 2 Corinthians 5, we gave this scripture, but I want to launch into this message by this scripture. It's 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 17. And it says this. We'll start in verse 17. It says, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Verse 18. Now all things are of God who has reconciled himself through Jesus, right? We just talked about that. And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That is beautiful gospel right there. that God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses on them, as he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. I love that. This is one of my favorite scriptures of the Bible, if you can't tell. That God was pleading through us, be reconciled to God. He made him to knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You and I have been given that ministry. It's not just pulpit. It's not just pulpit ministry. It's not just, man, if you got a really cool podcast, or maybe you write a good blog, you're in the ministry. No. You and I have been given the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? That means you and I, our job is to pull people from away from God to God. That's our job. That's our job. How do we do that? I'm so glad you asked, because we're going to get into it. Because there's been right ways and terrible ways. Right? This is kingdom purposes. This is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is, hey, God says, I want to reconcile mankind back to myself. That's the heart of God. If we could just see people the way God sees people. They're either with God or they're not with God. They're like the wayward children, or they're the children that are right there in the home, like hanging out with the father, right? The purpose of the kingdom. Listen, all the gifts of the Spirit, right? All of the manifestations of the Spirit, they're for the kingdom. They're to bring people closer to God. They're the times of refreshing that comes from the presence of the Lord. Is it just so that we can have this great, awesome, wonderful feeling? A little bit, yeah, but what does it do? It fuels us to do what? The work of the kingdom. If it doesn't fuel us to do the work of the kingdom, then what are we doing? I'm so glad it's just us this morning, quite honestly. Because we need to be about what God is interested in. The purpose of your giftings. The purpose of your ministry gifts, your purpose of your natural gifts, all in part are to move forward the kingdom of God. So we are ambassadors of Christ. What does that mean? I looked it up on with Webster's, right? An ambassador is an accredited, that's not even a word. It's an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. Right? You're an accredited diplomat sent by a country. What country is that? The kingdom. The kingdom. As its official representative to a foreign country. That's your job. That's what you've been called to do. Right? That actually means, let me get into it. Accredited, officially recognized or authorized. You are accredited and authorized. A diplomatic, an official representing a country abroad, right? Representative, a people chosen to act and speak on behalf of a wider group. So you are a representative, right? You're an accredited, authorized representative of the kingdom of God. That's amazing. You are an authorized representative of the kingdom of God. With the caveat, I really hope so. Right? One of my key phrases, my life phrase is this. It's like, I want to be an accurate representative of God. And that's the question we all have to ask ourselves. Am I an accurate representative of the kingdom? In my daily life, am I an accurate representative of the kingdom? We used to say, it's funny, I was thinking about this as I was studying. This is the new way to say old kind of things that we used to say. You know, we used to say this, don't ruin your witness, right? I'm just saying it a different way. It's the same truth, right? We are chosen to be ambassadors of the kingdom of God. The message of the kingdom, be reconciled to God. As though God, I mean, hear that. As though God is pleading through us. I mean, hear the emotion in that, right? The emotion that God is pleading through you to who? Your coworker. Through that, maybe that family member. Maybe that just that neighbor. Maybe that just that person. Understand, like, it's God pleading through you. Because it's not you, right? Because let's be honest, in our own natural, like, that guy's just a jerk, right? I don't want to deal with him. But if we see it through God's eyes, God pleading through you, God saying, and hear the heart of God, like, take you out of the equation, God pleading with humanity, be reconciled back to me. Be reconciled back to me. And then, like, I don't want to get to next week, but in the eyes, like, when you see our culture and you see what's going on in our nation and you see the craziness of the stuff that's going on in our nation, can you hear the heart of God? Gosh, just be reconciled back to me. Be reconciled back to me. Accurately representing God. How do we do it? We accurately represent God on this earth. Well, it's just us today, right? Well, this is what, should I say it? Just say yes, okay, yeah. Well, let me get my tracks ready. Because that's how you reconcile people to God, right? Just get your tracks ready and just go. And that's cool. That's all right. That's all right. I don't want to bash that because people come to Jesus that way. I know of a guy. He was a Matt Gober. He used to be a Hell's Angels. He came to the Lord that way, right? Somebody passed out a track. He was part of the Hell's Angels. He was dirty, nasty. Like, he was just like his own words. Like, I was just a nasty human being. Somebody handed him a track. And he was like, looked at it and like threw it on the ground. But his hands were so like sticky and everything, they couldn't get it off his hands. So he put it in his pocket. And like that night, he went back and read the tract. And he had a Bible, I believe, if I remember the story right. He had a Bible in his room. And he just started picking up. He got saved. So I get it, right? But that's the kind of our mindset. That's like the only way, right? You know, we've done a lot of things correctly. And then we talk about evangelism. It's the E word that all Christians tremble. When we hear evangelism. Okay, David, what are you going to ask us to do? All right, I'm going to strap on my boldness. And I'm going to go, right? You know what I love about the good ways we've done evangelism lately? In some ways, we're getting it right. It's love and kindness. Right? We're doing a lot of things. We're starting to do a lot of things a lot better, I believe. Because, see, we've done things kind of, we've preached like this weird message of condemnation on people. And God hates this, and God hates that, and you know, you dirty, rotten sinner, look at you smoking. God, man, you may not go to hell for smoking, but you'll smell like it, you know. You know, I mean, just, yeah, can I just say, just unkind things. Like, you know, I mean, and then, you know, some of our, anyway. Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, so, I don't want to go into all this. Okay, let me just. You know what I'm talking about, right? The weird doctrine of, you know, it's almost like, well, you're all going to hell, and like inside I'm a little happy about it. You know what I mean? Like that whole mindset, that whole attitude. Like there's no love, no compassion, no heart of God into this stuff. Like, can you see? I mean, I can't see God, like just, you know, if that's your view of God with the big finger and you got the wrong view. That's not the Bible view of God. The Bible view of God is Jesus weeping over the city. Like, I wish y'all would just let me gather you together. I wish, just Jesus, I wish y'all could just gather you together, but you refuse. It's like a breaking the heart of God. Wasn't a mad pointing over the city of Jerusalem. Oh, horrible. No, it's the heart of God and the compassion of God drawing them to himself. But then the problem is we go too far. We go too far with the kindness and love thing. Like, it's just all okay. It's all okay. Just everybody, welcome. Come on. Welcome. It's all good. Yeah. Yeah, you're this. That's wonderful. Hey, you have like unrepentant sin. No problem. It's all good. We're all happy and joy and happiness. Like, you're not sorry for your sin. It's okay. God loves, right? Love wins. It's all good. It's not all good. Like, we can't remember it was sin that sent Jesus to the cross. And sin separates us from God. So it's this weird dichotomy, right? It's this weird, do we love people? Or do we condemn everybody? Right? You know the greatest evangelist? It was Jesus. You know, sometimes when I get confused, like how to do church stuff and how does this all work, I just go, Jesus, how did you interact with people? Like, how did you deal with people who are in sin, right? Jesus, how did you deal with issues and, how did you deal with the political, right? Jesus, how did you? I mean, he deals with all this stuff, right? And they try to trap him with all this stuff. Jesus, how did you deal with it? Because I want to be more like Jesus, right? And we know that, I'm going to skip it. Bless you. Wow. You guys are awesome. Let's deal with Zacchaeus real quick. I like Zacchaeus. Because a wee little man was he. It said there was Jesus passing through, entered into Jericho, and he was passing through. This is Luke chapter 19. It's not up here. A lot of us know this story. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. It's interesting that they added all that in there. He wasn't just a tax collector. He was the chief tax collector, right? And he had money. And he had their money. So he wanted to see who Jesus was. And because he was short and he could not see over the crowd, I'm with you, bro. I'm with you. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. Then Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Isn't that awesome? Let me read that again. Picture this. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up at Zacchaeus and said, come down immediately. I must go to your house. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All who saw this began to mutter. It must have been a church. Not this church. All, other churches. I shouldn't say things like that. But Zacchaeus stood there and said, Lord, look, here I am. Let's see. Began to mutter, and he had gone to be the guest of a sinner. Right? So that was the rumor mill. The rumor mill started going, right? I can't believe Jesus and his chief tax collector. I mean, let's break this down. Because we've heard this story so many times. We've forgotten what it all is all about. So Jesus is a chief tax collector of that area, right? He's taken their money. And now all of a sudden, Jesus is with the tax collector who's taken all their money and says, come on, we're going to my house. I'm going to go to your house, right? I'm going to go stay with you. Jesus gets in the life of a tax collector. and goes into his life. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to him, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Just from being in the presence of Jesus. What did Jesus tell him? I don't know. Just from being in the presence of Jesus. Jesus showed this guy, who deserved nothing, he just showed him kindness. And showed him love, right? And showed him his value. Because he was a person. Because you see, guys, Jesus sees people differently than sometimes we do. Jesus sees people one way or the other. Are they my kid? Right? And then know, on another hand, that Jesus, we're always like, well, Jesus hated the religious. Absolutely. You know why? Because Jesus understood that in their desire to be godly, right, they threw away all of the important things, like love and mercy. And they said, basically what Jesus was telling those, if you just read the scriptures, basically what Jesus is telling those guys, you're doing more damage to the kingdom of God than you're doing good. Because really, in all your rules and all your stuff, you're keeping people out of the kingdom of God. Why did Jesus get angry at that? Because Jesus is all about reconciling the world to himself. And if there's people coming against him reconciling the world to himself, it gets Jesus upset. Right? And then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house." Zacchaeus. A wonderful story of redemption. I can't wait to say, "Hey, Zacchaeus, what did Jesus talk to you about? Like, what did y'all talk about?" Maybe Jesus talked to him about his, "Hey, man, you're stealing from people, dude. You just gotta, you know." Maybe he talked to him about it. I don't know. It's not written. Jesus got in the lives of others. He spent time with others. Most of what we see recorded, there's a lot of Jesus' sermons, but a lot of the life change that we see happens when Jesus is one-on-one. One-on-one. It's interesting, right? I was talking to Greg, and I was asking him, Greg Dove, and this has like been rolling around in me, like, what does a teacher look like back in the day, right? Oh, I'm way getting ahead of myself now that I think about it. What does a teacher look like? I don't know that a teacher, we talked about this, and a teacher wasn't really like this pulpit-type ministry, like what we see today in the New Testament church, early church. You know what a teacher was? Probably a small group leader. Probably just a guy who understood and could talk one-on-one with people and tell them about, you know, the things of God and explain things because they've been, you know. Man, we've relegated this whole thing of teaching down to like this weird, like what I'm doing today. Right? That's teaching. Teaching is just, you're a teacher. Yeah? Individual. One-on-one. It's almost like mentoring. You see, Paul has Timothy. Right? That he mentors. He calls him my son. Mentoring. So Jesus does one-on-one. He talks to the woman at the well. Right? He talks to the woman at the well. Very scandalous scene. Like if you think about it, if there was like Twitter and the social media, they would be all over that Jesus scene with loose woman at the well by himself. Headlines. Discredit this ministry today, right? You'd be done forever. Right? But Jesus pulls the heart of this woman, right? Watch this. Because there's so much. Jesus uses a gift of the Spirit, right? and reads this lady's mail. You're not just married to one person, not even two. And the one you're with now is not even your husband. Right? But he does this drawing her to himself. Let me just say. And then she says, great, I perceive you're a prophet. Genius, right? She's a bright lady. Right? But then that woman is so messed up by Jesus that he brings her, actually she goes and preaches him. It's the love of God. It's the love of God. It's the goodness of God that brings people to repentance. And then, so evangelistic Jesus, yes. What about mentor Jesus? What about teaching Jesus? He takes 12 guys. He pours his life into 12 close guys. Teaches them, mentors them, talks to them. When they have questions, he answers them. Hangs out, does life with them, right? I'm sure there wasn't just every time that they had gone in for the night, they would build a little campfire. I'm sure it was just a bunch of guys, dude. I mean, can you imagine? You know, 12 of you guys getting together. I mean, can you imagine, like, there would be jokes, right? There would be laughing. There would, I mean, we'll just leave it at that. But you never know, like, what's going on around that camp. But also, you know what else is going on? It's Jesus, his life. He enters into the life of those 12 guys and takes God. Listen to this. This is crazy. In 3 years, takes guys who Peter, out of his own mouth, was, I'm a sinner, go away from me. To now Peter is the head of the church. Why? Because of Jesus' mentorship and the power of the Holy Spirit that was on the inside of Peter. In 3 years. He takes Matthew, the tax collector. He takes Simon, the zealot, right? He takes all these guys and mentors them and pours his life into those guys. Yeah, he had other ministry, he was doing other things, but man, those 12, these are the guys. And he pours his life into other people. So what does that look like for you and me? Like, I'm not a teacher. I'm not a public speaker. If I'm honest with myself, I'm not really a leader. I'm not even just, how does that look, what does that look like for me? You know what it looks like for all of us? What do you have in your hand? What's the giftings that God's given you? Well, I can bring candy, and I can show up on a Friday night to be involved with a community that our church is trying to help. I can do that. And maybe during that, maybe God will give me a conversation with somebody. I can have conversation with people. Or maybe it's, you have this, I mean, so many of you guys, this church was, I mean, and let's just get down to this church was built by you guys. Rolling up your sleeves. I mean, I know Greg Lambert did most of it, but he's not even here. But I know, but, like, I think about Linda. Linda helps us with some of the design stuff around here and helps us pick out, you know, stuff that matches. Aren't you glad it's not me? he helps us pick out stuff and helps us get all that stuff together. And you know why? Because that's what she's gifted at. One of the things that she's gifted in. But you understand, by doing those things, you're advancing the kingdom. Does that make sense? By you taking your phone out and texting somebody, hey, just want to let you know I was praying for you. And then, wait, time out. And you really did pray for them. and you prayed for them. You go, hey, just want to let you know I prayed for you today. Hey, man, I love you. Hope you have a great day. And then we have sound people. that do a wonderful job. And all joking aside, these sound people, what are they doing every Sunday? Pushing the kingdom of God forward. They're doing it. People that work in the children's ministry, what are you doing? Pushing the kingdom of God forward. What are you doing? I'm helping people grow closer to God. I'm being an example to Jesus, to kids. Actually, you're doing children's ministry. You're blessing people that can't bless you back. You know? You're not... Yeah, anyway. But you know what I'm saying. Do you have anything you want to say about this, Julie? We talked about this morning. You want to?
Sure.
Yeah, I want you to. Okay, cool.
Is this on?
There you go.
Thank you. Really,
we were talking about this morning.
We did. So. We talked about this morning. For each person, what you do to push to move the kingdom forward and, or to help people get closer to God is going to look different because everybody's gifted in different ways. You may be like, I know how. There was a season in my life where I felt like the Lord said, there was a single mom that lived across the street, and the Lord said, take care of her kids.
Yeah.
And so we talked about it, we prayed, and we helped take care of her kids because she was a single mom. And I knew through doing that, that was helping her get closer to God and it was helping her kids get closer to God. And that was what I was called to do at that time, you know? And so it may look really different for you at this season of your life, what you do to help move the kingdom forward. For some of you, it may be some kind of ministry here in the church. Others of you, it may be showing love to that neighbor across the street or to your ailing father, or to, you know, your child at this time. But you have to hear from God what you're supposed to do to move the kingdom forward. So it's not cookie cutter. It could be, hey, go make a meal for this person, or volunteer to watch their kids because their dad's in the hospital. You know, just helping people where they're at during this time helps people get closer to God. So each of us be available. And it'll cost you. Just know it's going to cost. It's not easy. It's going to cost you your time. It's going to cost you maybe money. It's going to cost you what you want to, whatever, watch that show on Netflix. But instead, you're going to have to put your device down and spend some time helping somebody else out. But it's inconvenient, but it's worth it. And I believe the higher the price personally for you, the bigger the reward in this world and in eternity. Because we can't, you know, the old saying is you can't outgive God. And it's the truth, not just in the offering that you give at church, but as you give of your life for other people. And the other thing we always have to remember is that it's not between us and that person. It's between us and God. So when God tells you or you know this is something I can do to help that person get closer to God, you give that as an offering to God, just like you go to work and you work as unto the Lord. You know, God, I'm doing this for you. So you serve and you're nice to your neighbor and you're nice to somebody. Guess what? They may not give it back to you. You may be nice to someone and they completely treat you like garbage. Well, it's not between you and that person. It's between you and God. And you do it for him. And we do it for his kingdom. So regardless of how people react or how they respond, we do it. Jesus, I do this. I give this. I give this of my calling. I give this of my time. I give this of my gift, of whatever. God, I give this to you, Jesus, for your kingdom. You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's exactly. That's awesome. So good. That's so good, Julie. So what about, you know, us? So what does that mean for you and I? You know, it's like you can do things to move forward the kingdom of God. It's not here, right? So when I was, I'll tell this story and I'll shut up. I was working at full-time at the dealership. Some of y'all know I used to work at a dealership. And I remember, you know, you feel like you have this call on your life, you know. You know, this big call, big super day, with super call. And you feel like, man, I'm just spinning my wheels at this stupid dealership, right? You know, I'm just not doing anything. Like I wish I was, like, on the front lines, right? I was on the front lines doing ministry stuff. And I wish I was, you know, just full time, just going for it, right? That was kind of a mindset, right? And I'll be honest, no fault of my own, that's what I was taught. You're really doing things, it means you're full time and you're all in, right? Well, I had a rude awakening about that whole theology one day when I was at work, and I call it my moment of poor pastor with no pulpit awakening. And I was having one of those days, poor pastor, no pulpit days. And I was doing my thing. I was getting parched for these ungrateful, jerk, cussing, lunatic technicians, foul mouth, you know. Don't they know who they're cussing around? It's God's anointed one. And so I grabbed all this stuff and, you know, I grabbed their stuff and I was taking it to the counter. I was putting it on the counter and God spoke to me as I was walking back to the counter. I saw all these technicians. They were all, it was a busy day. All these technicians were standing in front of me. And he goes, like, you know how God will, like, speak to you, like, in many things in a moment? And it was like God was speaking to me, like, David, he goes, do I call you into the ministry? I'm like, yes, God, yes. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. Yes, yes, God. Thank you for confirming that on me. Yes, I believe it. You know, did you call me? He said, what'd you call? I said, God, I thought you'd call me to be a pastor. Yes, yes, yes. And God was like, yes, I did. I was like, awesome. Feeling the, you know, just ready to, you know. And then God says, see all those people out there? He goes, they don't go to church. They don't have a pastor. Guess what? You're their pastor. You know, wait. So I don't know what those technicians ever said to me in those moments, but I wasn't paying any attention to them at all. Me and God were having private conversations. God taught me a lesson. Whatever your gifting is, doesn't matter if you're full-time. Doesn't matter if you're part-time. Doesn't matter if you're no-time. The truth of the matter is, you are full-time. Because there's people around you every day. And I said, well, God, how does this work out? How does this work? I'm their pastor. Like, how does that work? They don't go to church. They don't even care about God. He said, what's their job as a pastor? I said, well, God, I've really, you know, thought about it. I was like, well, I guess it's just really to get people closer to God. I can't solve people's problems anyway, right? My job is to help people get closer to God because God is a problem solver. God is the helper. So God, my job is to help them get closer to you. He goes, that's right. He goes, find out where all these people are with me, and you do whatever you got to do to help them get them closer to me. I go, well, God, I can't just preach right. And it was like this, all this moment. It's not about your preaching, David. It's not about your great skills of breaking down theology. You know what it is about? Can you love them? Can you accurately represent me to them? Because a lot of them have terrible ideas of who I am. God, will you accurately represent a world that doesn't know me? Will you accurately represent me to them? Because see, David, they think I'm mean. You see, David, they think I'm against them. They think I'm mad at them. Would you just not even correct them if they cuss around you? Would you just love them right where they're at? Would you just not, whenever they tell something like off color or whatever, would you just not put your fingers in your ear and go, la, 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 I'm not listening because it's hurting me or whatever? Can you just love people right where they're at? I'm not asking you to get involved in their sin and all their junk, but can you just accurately represent me? Light went on. I can do that, God. I can do that, God. And it's amazing by what Julie's talking about and the power of your love and your compassion. You know, I used to think, I want them to say, I don't know about that Jesus, all that Jesus and religious stuff, but what I know about Christianity, what I think I know about Christianity, that guy's it. And all these problems I have with all these megastar Christians and all these other stuff that's going on, I can break those guys, but I can't mess with this guy because this guy's like legit. Like, he messes up and he fesses up about it. He'll call himself out. I'd say something. I go, man, you know, I probably shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. And they're like, oh, dude, that's nothing. I go, this is between me and him. Right? You just live that life. And it's amazing. You know what happened to me? doors started opening. People would come to me privately. You know, like the rich young ruler came to Jesus privately. People would start coming to me privately. Say, Dave, I got this thing going on with my marriage. I don't know what to do. And I'd get to pull them aside. And I get to tell them, dude, I'm going to pray for you, man. I believe God. And you know what? You know, I have my own story, and I just be able to share with them and just encourage them. Watch them go through things, and they start coming to me. You know what I began? I became their pastor. I didn't make myself, I didn't put like the pastor badge on and just go look at me. I just started acting like it. Some of you guys, you feel like you have the gift of teaching. Man, teach people. Take them from where they're at. Well, how many people did you get saved, Dave? I don't know. I know a whole bunch of them started going to church. And I started watching their lives change as I would interact with them and I was talking to them and I was encouraging them. Man, that's because you got a gift of preaching, Dave. No. I just love people. I just love people. And didn't try to be better than anybody else. Just loved them. I had to speak up sometimes. We're like, no. What do you think about that, Dave? I think it's wrong. What do you think about this issue, Dave? Well, I think it's wrong. I think it's sin. I think it's against God. And they'd go, oh, you're sorry. But I would love them. And I'd mess with them. And it was fantastic. You see, what if evangelism was as simple as just loving people into the kingdom? And man, let me tell you something. Well, there'll become a time where somebody will come up to you and go, man, I need God, man. And you'll go, that's fantastic. I know him, and I'll help you lead. I'll lead you to him. It's so much more than just giving somebody the four spiritual laws, which are great. We need the four spiritual laws like we used to do. We need to understand those things. But we live in a culture today that has a really bad taste in our mouth towards Christians. And listen, guys, we have got to fix it. I don't know about all those other Christians, but that Maurice, he's the real deal. I see him live it out every day. I don't know about all these other people, but that's for real. I want that what people to say about me. Right? Amen. Let's all stand together. Boy, and once you step in, the clash of the kingdoms begin. And we're going to talk about that next week. Clash of the kingdom. Just bow your heads with me. God, we look to you. We look to you. God, I'm with you, God. I want people to know you. I want people to know you, God, like I know you. I want people to know you as the good God that I know you to be. God, I want people to know that you're an ever-present help in time of need. And God, they don't. So God, like Isaiah, I say, here am I, God, send me. Send me. Send me, God. I'll pay the price. I look at a world outside of myself. All for your kingdom. God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is already in heaven. Right where you're at, just allow God to speak to you. And that "here I am, send me" can be as simple as you saying, "God, show me what you want me to do. What's my part? What's my part in your kingdom? What's my part in bringing people closer to you?" God, I thank you. God, I thank you that we don't have to be perfect. Just available. God, I thank you. And just whatever God speaks to you, just, you know, your response is, "Here am I, God, send me. I'll do it." God, we thank you. Like we always do, if you want prayer for anything, we're welcome. You're welcome to come down and we'll be glad to pray for you. Maybe God's really spoken to you about this message. Maybe you just need to come down and spend some time in the front. Maybe you got some just things going on. And man, you're like, "I can't even concentrate on anybody else because all the craziness that's going on in my life." And maybe you just need somebody to pray with you about that. Don't leave. If that's you, you need somebody to pray with you. God, we honor you this morning. We thank you for your goodness. Help us see the world like you do. In Jesus' name. They're going to sing, and they're going to do another worship song. For all intents and purposes, you are dismissed if you want, or you can stay while they do this song. God bless you guys. We love you. You're dismissed.